This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, congratulations. There is a local team in this area, man. Local team in this area. That sounded kind of redundant. University of Denver Pioneers rolling to their third straight Frozen Four after taking care of Western Michigan 6-2. I mean, that was the defending national champ, so a big one for DU, obviously. How about this, Mike? This is DU's 21st Frozen Four appearance in school history. 21st. The program's 10 national titles are the most in NCAA history. It's crazy, man. They got a hell of a goalie. They got an amazing coach. Just a winning culture around.
They're the Canada of America. They're good at lacrosse. They're good at hockey.
They're good at everything, apparently. Because their basketball team was pretty good, too. NFL owners are alarmed by the state of negotiations with the NFL Referees Association, according to Kevin Seifert of ESPN. They have authorized staff members to begin hiring and onboarding replacement officials in the coming weeks. The NFL began compiling a list of college-level officials, there you go, Mike, to recruit earlier this month. And owners are expected this week to approve a sweeping set of replay enhancements to support replacement officials in preseason and regular season games. A league source said that the training of the new replacement officials will begin May 1st. According to a source, once that happens, the opportunity to reach an agreement with our current union becomes a bigger challenge just from simple economics. So is this is a power play move by the NFL, Mike. This is the NFL saying, hey, we're starting it now. Like May 1st, we are going to start the training process for these new officials. Once we're in that training process, going back to the table with you is going to be difficult, at least for the upcoming season.
Yeah, this is a big-time chess move. Check.
So this would be on the NFL officials. They would probably need to get together again, because the odds of them getting anything done before next season would be very much hindered if they allow these replacement officials, new movie coming up starring Keanu Reeves, to start their training on May 1st. Then that really does not bode well for the current NFL officials and all of
them. Does it say what the officials in the NFL are hung up on? Are they asking
for more money? Yeah, they want more money. NFL RA Executive Director Scott Green called out the league sources for putting out false and misleading information. He says this, quote, "The bottom line is our officials work for the wealthiest sports league in America, with profits that far exceed any of the others. That's normally a point of pride for the NFL. However, our officials are substantially undercompensated when compared to baseball and basketball umpires and referees. Our officials also aren't provided the health care benefits that those at 345 Park Avenue have." The NFL's collective bargaining agreement with the NFLRA expires May 31st. The league sent a memo to each club last week prohibiting public comment on the situation, but as owners, league officials, and team staffers gathered this weekend at the Arizona Biltmore Resort, sources painted a dire portrait of the likelihood of an agreement before replacement officials are hired. Yes, Michael.
How much are these officials being paid? I mean, I know that they've always complained about pay, but the argument against that is they work 17 games guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas baseball officials work 164.
That's their life, right?
Yeah, like you have officials who are lawyers in the offseason.
Basketball and hockey are like quite a bit too. Because when they're not officiating, they're traveling to their next game that they're officiating.
Yeah, the 82 games for each, and the season is long.
Yeah, so it's weird to compare yourself to those officials that, Mike, that is their job 100%. When the season begins, these officials, and again, these guys, all officials do a lot of work before because they're constantly trying to get better at their craft. They're learning more, any rule updates, how to better officiate something. They're always working on that. But to compare yourself to officials that, like you said, baseball's every day. Basketball and hockey, when you're not officiating, you're traveling to your next game that you're officiating. So according to sources, the NFL has offered the NFLRA a six-year deal that averages annual raises of 6.45%. The average NFL official earned $385,000 in 2025. The league has also pushed the NFLRA to allow several fundamental changes to officials' job structure, which the NFLRA has largely resisted. I'm not sure what the structure would be on that side of it, but one league source told ESPN to expect people to jump from college to the pros and change in speed in that short of time is destined to be a challenge to succeed. We're not going to do that. There will be no panic, and we have begun preparations for the expiration. We have to do it, otherwise it would be just gross negligence at this point.
So according to AI based off of Yahoo Sports, the average NFL referee makes $205,000 to $250,000 plus a year. This includes 401ks, insurance, and they do get a travel stipend.
Hmm. Do you think they're underpaid based on that, or
no,
are
I
they
think
fine?
That's some decent paying. Look, if I'm the NFL and the NFL is big on health, I would give them a better health care. I'd say, you know what? We want you guys to be healthy. We want you guys to be in shape. We'll give you some health care. We're not going to give you a raise. We're giving you health care.
I mean, because let's be honest. Like you brought up the 17 games thing, and obviously playoffs and all that come into play. But what is an official? And I'm asking the question. Like, I can tell you a player is not just getting paid for what they do on Sundays. They're practicing every day. They're doing things that the team has them required to do. You know, they're there work putting the work in. What does an official do, I'm asking, when they're not officiating? I mean, they get done with the game, Mike, and then I assume they go home, and they're not doing anything until they have to get on a plane or whatever to go do their next game.
It does say they do perform in-week training, but are considered part-time employees. I don't know what in-week training is. I always assumed it was they were going to get a call from the head of officials. Okay, this is
they probably
what you
have
did
to go
right,
back
this
and,
is what you did wrong.
They probably have to go back and study their... They probably have to watch film. They have to go back and see where they got one right, where they got one wrong. They probably have to fill out forms and evaluate themselves and their officiate. The head official, I'm assuming gets paid more, has to probably lead that in evaluating his team.
He's probably a full-time employee.
So there's probably like film study and things that they have to do throughout the week. I'm not expecting them just to go home and go back to their regular jobs or whatever. But they do. I'm just curious. I would be curious to know how much an official like puts in during a week, as opposed to an NBA, NHL, MLB official, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they probably have to do some of that study in between games that they're doing. You know, so to compare those refs to these refs is a complete. I mean, your life is on hold. You're not probably around your family much. You're on the road more than you're off of it, going to different games. So that's a strange comparison to me.
Yeah, there are two different types of officials. And look, a baseball official, you can You can be a large man and just stand there. You don't have to be in shape. An NFL official, an NBA official, an NHL official, they have to be in shape. So I understand that. That's why I would go more the healthcare route.
When they had the replacement, so we all know the infamous picture of one official waving for a touchdown, the other one saying an incomplete pass. Correct my memory. Was it that bad the rest of the way through?
I thought after that week that was the final
straw.
That was
it. They just had the one game.
Well, was like week three.
Okay, so they had preseason plus a few weeks into the regular season.
Yeah, and then that happened, and now, the NFL said no more.
Now, did they get their referees? Did they have to do that last minute? Because the NFL's making it sound like we're not going to just go get college coaches a month before the season and get them up to speed. We're going to start now. We're going to start May 1st.
So, I thought they had done it last minute, and I don't really remember, but I get the feeling that they had kind of done it last
minute.
Like they got cocky and thought that they were going to get a deal.
Yeah, it seems like it. Eastside Chris, isn't the referees really part-time? Some of those guys are like corporate lawyers. If they want full-time, wouldn't they jeopardize their other careers?
Yeah, they would put them in a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, I think that's part of what the officials are fighting, that they don't want to change to full-time, but they just want more money as a part-time. They want a bigger percentage, bigger cut. Okay, 16 minutes after the hour, the Colorado Buffaloes, they get one guy back that they really needed, but a couple other guys are leaving. Let's talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, on the state of college Colorado basketball, as well as his thoughts on football. Mark's been he's been a little banged up. So we'll catch up with him, man, see how he's doing. Also, when we talk to Mark, we always get the latest on, like, the state of college sports. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next.
McKinnon, Jokic, McCarr, Murray. Hear the postseason legends in their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Mark Johnson joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. First and foremost, Mark, my friend, how you feeling, bro? Good to catch up with you here. It'll be great to hear your voice back on The Whole Show.
Well, it's always good to be on with you. And you know what? Just the fact that that's the first question you have for me off the top indicates that I'm getting old. When people are worried about your well-being, you know, there's a great old line I once heard. It says, do you know how to tell if you're old or not? If you fall down on the ice, if people laugh at you, you're young. If they gasp, you're old. And I'm getting into that position in life now because you're concerned about my health right off the top.
Well, I mean, and I was shooting you some texts last week, and I was like, hey, we'll have you ready to jump back on The Whole Show. I said, I'm sorry. Maybe not jump, Mark, not at this point, but just excited to have you on. And maybe you're lying down while doing this interview.
Well,
I don't know.
I said no jumping, but the leg from my little cattle accident is getting better, and so I'm moving around quite well. I was actually roping a couple of days ago, and so I'm back doing everything. And so I shouldn't have a heart attack while we're talking, but don't discount the possibility.
we'll be ready. We get people on standby if we need to.
Good, yeah.
Mark, on the basketball side, I'm just trying to keep up. This is a crazy time following who's going to stay. You get some good news. You're getting some interesting news. Some guys that are big pieces to this team leaving, but getting one critical piece back. So we'll be monitoring that. But it's a different day and age, man. Just trying to keep up with not only bringing in new players, but retaining some of your studs from last year.
Oh, it's just silly. By the way, I'm going to break some news in your show here. I am not going into the transfer portal. So I'll be one of the few that won't be, apparently. But yeah, I mean, it looks like. According to reports out there, Isaiah Johnson, Sebastian Ronchick, Bangot Dak, I don't know if any are surprising I will say this. I know that there was a great desire internally. I think, you know, everybody understands this. In the new age in which we live and we exist in college athletics, I think coaches look at their roster as the year's coming to an end and say, okay, here are the guys we have to maintain and, you know, make sure that they're the number one or number two priority. And I think going into this offseason, the idea was that Barrington Hargreaves and Isaiah Johnson were the two main targets to make sure they stuck around. And so the Isaiah Johnson thing, and I haven't got any you know, hard information on this. My sense is what happened is that there were some folks that were calling his representatives, and the number continued to grow. Because I'm pretty sure that Colorado was willing to put a pretty substantial number out there within the confines of their, you know, financial reality. And I think the number continued to grow and grow and grow and got to the point where the Buffs just couldn't even compete with that. And so my sense is with that. With the other two guys, I think what you have to do, like any, you know, listen, and Brady, in your type of show, you talk about this all the time. When guys become free agents and, you know, teams have to evaluate and say, okay, this is the window we feel this guy we're willing to pay. And if guys aren't happy with that, they want to jump, we're going to let them go. My sense is with the two bigs, that's probably what happened with those guys. And so it's just, it's the new, like you said, the new world, the new reality, the new process that every coach has to go through at the end of the season. Sometimes you lose guys you don't want to, and sometimes you're willing to let guys go, and that's kind of what Tad's been faced with.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, at the end of the day, this is why I'm looking at like Coach Shire for Duke, like all this pressure's on him because of now. There's pressure anyway when you're at Duke, but
yeah.
The money that you're getting to put forth for this new roster year in and year out, suddenly that pressure is going to change.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, think about the guys that are at the top level. You probably saw some of the same list that I do, and who knows how accurate they are. But, you know, when the Sweet 16 was pared down to that many teams, we saw lists out there about what the NIL budgets or the rosters were for those teams. And if you're going to be at the top, and right now it appears, and I'm trying to think what former coach it was, I think it was former Virginia Tech coach, I'm losing his name right now, but he's the one that said, boy, it looks like if you want to be a Sweet 16 team, you got to be in the $12 million range.
Yeah,
and that's rarefied air. I mean, I can tell you this: the Buffs and the Rams certainly aren't in that area right now. You know, that's just not where they live. And so, when you come up with numbers like that, and you're as high as Kentucky was this past year, Mark Pope, you know, they had that team up near what, $20 to $22 million for the roster, and then you don't make the Final Four. There's going to be great pressure. There's always pressure. The Blue Bloods. Now, one of the interesting things, Brady, I think that's fascinating about this. You're looking at a Final Four. You don't have Kansas, you don't have Kentucky, you don't have Duke, you don't have North Carolina. What does that tell us about what's happening in college athletics? The Blue Bloods that used to have an enormous advantage are losing their advantage now because everyone can pay, and now, you know, college athletes are looking and going, well, I don't have to go to Kansas. I can go to, you know, pick your school. And it's changing the landscape of college athletics. I think we're losing the underdogs, and the Blue Bloods are losing an advantage in this new system we're in.
I agree with that. And, you know, I thought that might be the case, honestly, when it came to basketball. You know, we might not see the crazy Cinderellas go deep or whatever, but I did think it might get spread out a little bit more at the top and kind of middle, in the middle of the, you know, top colleges. And we are kind of seeing that right now.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Arizona's a blue blood, obviously. But, you know, they haven't been to a Final Four since, what is it, 01 or 05 or something? I mean, it's been 20 years or so since Arizona's been there. UConn is a blue blood, and so they've made it. But Illinois, you know, it's been a long time since they've been there, since they've had a program of this magnitude. Who am I missing? My fourth school. I'm missing somebody.
Who did you say, Mark? You said
Illinois, Arizona,
UConn, Michigan. Oh, yeah, Michigan, yeah.
And Michigan is always been a solid program. You know, but from a basketball standpoint, let's be honest about it. I wouldn't say they've been a blue blood, but they've been very good. But they've got deep pockets. And so, you know, you've got all high seeds working their way there. And so this is altering college athletics and what it's going to be and how it's going to open up. And, you know, I was at an event the other night, and this guy was asking me questions about this, and he said something about, well, you know, you can still get a team where – you're a lower-level team, but you stay together, and, you know, by the time they're all seniors, I said, well, stop. That's not happening anymore, right? You could see a Butler or someone like that in years gone by that had an older team. I said, because as soon as somebody shows that they're a top-level player, a big boy's going to come and pluck them and take them away from the lower levels. You're not going to get that anymore. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, we had a couple of schools that made a little bit of noise this year that were lower-level teams, but that's just not where we're at right now. And so, you know, everyone's adjusting, but I do wonder – you probably saw the comment just like I did. Commissioner Sankey from the SEC, was it just last week, you know, made the comment that, you know, maybe we got to start looking about doing our own thing. And I still think that's where this is going. And by the way, how about the over promotion by ESPN of the SEC? They had more teams in a college football playoff than a basketball playoff, and none of them have made the Final Four, the championship games. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be good, though, right? With all this talk of breaking away, it's like, wait a second. You're not really running the table when it comes to you know, advancing as far as you can possibly go.
You know how they always say that it's not the noisy guy in the bar you need to watch out for, it's the guy that's quiet? You know how they say that?
Yeah.
You notice how little the Big Ten goes out and pumps its own chest? It's the SEC that does that. And in my view, the Big Ten is actually the power conference. That's the one. They've got money. They've got all sorts. They've got media rights. They've got everything in the Big Ten. That's the biggest league in college athletics, not the SEC, despite the promotion you see out there.
Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. They've got the same kind of money. They're not talking as much, maybe even probably more money, like you said.
Yep.
And now they're getting the victories behind it.
Yep, no doubt about it. And so, you know, the SEC, what was it, 0-6 or 0-7 against the Big Ten in the tournament? The Big Ten dominated the SEC. We saw the same thing, obviously, in football. Indiana, a non-power football school, winning the championship out of the Big Ten. And so it is what it is right now. Now, what's interesting, we're about ready to jump on a plane here in a few hours. We're going to go to you know, Las Vegas for the Crown event, which has become actually the preferred event over the NIT. Teams turn down the NIT to get in the Crown because you're playing for money within that. But the question is, who's going to be there? I mean, okay, we already know that we're talking about three guys being down for the Buffs. Now, I've been going back and forth with my buddies who are play-by-play guys for West Virginia and Baylor. It sounds like they've got their full rosters. I still haven't heard a definitive word on Oklahoma. But you get to this point where you're playing in these events. Who's going to show up? Who's not going to show up? We've already seen that in bowl games. And you just go, well, okay, if we're going to do this the way it's unfolding right now, then we have to have contracts, and you have to finish the season before all of a sudden you disappear on us, and we don't have that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was just getting ready to ask you, like, Mark, maybe I shouldn't just ask about random players. Who do you expect to actually play in this game coming up on Wednesday?
Well, that's a great point, and like I said, I have not heard. I was going to drop a line to my buddy at Oklahoma, who I haven't talked to yet, and see what their roster is going to look like. I mean, they were a very nice team. I know they were thought to be what maybe the first team out from the NCAA tournament. They were a team that went, 7-11, I think it was, in the SEC, and you know, won 18-19 games during the regular season. A good offensive team. Their defensive numbers are suspect. But, you know, I think it could be a quality game when it's all said and done, but you just don't know. And who's motivated? Who's not motivated? Who's thinking about the portal already, which opens up on, what, April 7th, so early next week? And so it's just such an odd deal that we're going into. And you know, I love doing the games, obviously. I've told you before. I love the games. I'm not a big fan of the sport. And so I'm looking forward to the game on Wednesday night between CU and Oklahoma. And you hope everyone's dialed in. That's going to be there. It ends up being a great contest. But it really is a fascinating deal. Now, you would think they'd be motivated, since there is money on the line in this whole deal, in the Crown Tournament. You hope they'd be motivated, but, you know, who knows?
Mark, I got to tell you, you can tell I'm getting jaded with this sport. I had you know Ali Farokhmanesh. This was his first year with Colorado State. And he had a guy, you know, he's a transfer this year, pretty good player for him, Josh Pascarelli. He'd been battling injuries, but he did play in their a couple of games in their Mountain West tournament. He did not play in their game, in their NIT game.
Right.
And one of my questions to him was, is he coming back? I mean, or is that something where he's already decided he's moving on? And Ali kind of had to stop. He's like, wow, now that you mention it like that, I can see why the perspective around, or the perception around there, is that he's already done and he just doesn't even want to play one more with us. But that's not the case. But I just thought it fascinating. You interview Tad Boyle about that, and he'll probably be like, yeah, man, that's exactly what I can see why people went there. But that's where our brain goes. If we see a guy not play in any of these postseason type of games, you know, our brain ultimately goes to, well, maybe they're not coming back.
Without question. We all think it because it's reality. Now, it might not be reality in every single specific set of circumstances, but it's out there. The tampering that is going on, the fact that you've got schools that are already – and look what we just saw with, what's his name, the coach that went from North Carolina State to LSU, I'm losing his last name. But it appears there was tampering going on there.
Oh, yeah.
You've got calls being made to players. You've got conversations going on between representative of said player, representative of said institution. And so let's take it to the next level of this kind of thing. Now it's CU. I'm glad. I'm wonderfully excited that Barrington Hargreaves is coming back.
Yeah.
I love him. But, you know, as a promotional institution, they put out this big, it was almost a Michael Jordan, I'm back type thing. And we see this not just with CU, this is criticism of what went on in Boulder. We see it all over college athletics, you know, that somehow we have to make an announcement now when one of our good players decides he's going to come back and play for the institution for the second consecutive year. And you go, well, wait a minute, man. I mean, if you make the commitment, I'm just going to assume that until you announce otherwise. But now we go the other direction where we announce, okay, we are coming back. Well, very few people are Michael Jordan, in my view, okay? And if Mike can do it over his fax and send it in, just say I'm coming back, I think that should suffice.
Yeah.
But we live in a world of hyperbole right now, right? And then you get these other guys, they make the move. And, you know, I don't know who writes these things. I don't know if there's a form letter out there that every time a guy decides he's going to go someplace, he talks about how phenomenal the experience has been at the institution, how it was just amazing, the fans were amazing, the town was amazing, the program was amazing. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, why are you leaving then? If it was so fantastic, why are you going anywhere? Right? And they always say, well, but through much prayer, apparently God wants everyone to transfer now. I didn't realize
God's
that.
A big fan of the transfer portal.
Right? And you know me, man. I'm a man that is heavily involved in ministry. And it just grates on me a little bit with all this hyperbolic, bizarre, and my verbiage is escaping me right now, but we get these strange situations that we all make these big announcements, as if the whole world's waiting to hear, you know, what the higher being is doing within our lives, asking us whether we're going to stay or we're going to go. I mean, it's a strange deal, and I'm a little bit turned off by all of it. Now, with that being said, I love the games. I mean, and the television ratings are off the charts for the NCAA tournament. So does everyone else. But it's just a weird universe we're living in.
Mark, it's kind of like at the beginning of the year for the NBA, for example, they had a lot of bad news. Obviously, I think you and I talked about Chauncey Billups, the gambling stuff that's going on too, and it was like, oh wow, is this is going to be the end of the NBA, it's going to be the end of the sport. And then suddenly the game starts and I'm like, oh, Joker got another triple-double, sweet. You know, like you just kind of, you disassociate, I think, from some of that stuff when the actual game goes on. And then when it's all over, you're kind of like, oh yeah, it's all garbage right now. I forgot. But it was really entertaining. That UConn-Duke game was really fun.
Well, what does it tell you, Brady, right? And you're a perfect example of it. We love the entertainment and the spectacle of the athleticism and the drama. I mean, look, the ending to the UConn-Duke game the other day is why we love the sport, right? It's phenomenal. It's amazing how that game ended. And UConn moves on, you know, to the Final Four, despite the fact their head coach headbutted a referee.
What is that?
Dude, well, listen, if your last name is Hurley and you're coaching college basketball, I wonder about your sanity. Let's be honest about it with both those guys, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both just explosive as can be. But for those reasons, we love sports. The gold medal run by the U.S. Olympic hockey team. All of those things we love about sports because the drama, the spectacle, the storylines are phenomenal. That's why we love sports, right? And you can pick great baseball seasons, great horse races, great boxing matches, you know, Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson, whatever it is in sports, we love it because it's unpredictable and it's amazing to watch, and we're blown away sometimes just by the drama and the pageantry of it. But the behind-the-scenes stuff does get to us after a while, on occasion.
Yeah.
You know, now this is what we're going to deal with now for the next couple of months here. And then college football and NFL football will get underway, and we'll fall back in love with the games because they're so great. And then we'll get into college basketball, and we'll be in love with them because they're so great because of what it means between the lines. It's the outside the line stuff that none of us are big fans of right now.
I think, Mark, at the beginning of next year, you should put out a social media post that's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm coming back. And it's like, wait, weren't you under contract? We're like, well, but that's fine. Yeah, you just want to make it a big deal.
And by the way, can the Jay Bellises of the world and people like that please stop every time that we see a coach jump? You know, they jump on there and they make this comparison between players going to the portal and coaches moving around. Okay, is there distasteful things that happen with coaches? Absolutely. It looks like this move from NC State to LSU was probably a little bit of tampering. There was stuff in there. But it's apples and oranges. Coaches have contracts. They have to abide by contracts. When they break those contracts, they have penalties they have to pay, and there are buyouts. If somebody goes and steals Isaiah Johnson from Colorado, there's no penalty.
Nothing.
There is no buyout. There is nothing. It's just a guy leaves. So they're very different. If we want to go apples to apples on this, then let's have hard-hitting contracts with hard repercussions so that there are penalties if you're going to jump and go someplace. And then you're living in the big boy world because coaches have to deal with that. Whether they're paying it or the new employer is paying it, somebody has to pay those penalties. And there are responsibilities that come with that. Right now the players don't have. So it's apples to oranges when you make those comparisons in college athletics.
Yeah, I think there should be a buyout in place for players. And I don't even know how to mathematically figure out the levels of that. But you're right. Like, if your coach leaves, well, you did a good job by setting him up for a buyout that he's so good, great for your program, and you're going to get a lot of cash now to use for NIL stuff. If a player leaves, you just wasted time, energy, and money on training that player to become that player to ultimately leave. So you're out not only the player, but all the energy you put forth to create to help build this player up.
That's why you feel bad for the lower level programs when a guy, you know, makes the jump. Who's the kid from Iowa, you know, that has been started out a low level Division II, they went to the previous stop with the head coach, and went to Iowa. Wherever he left, they got nothing for identifying, developing. You know, I mean, you know, I had a fan that dropped me a line about Isaiah Johnson. Isaiah Johnson was not an incredibly high level recruit coming out of high school. And this guy said, I really feels like it's a kick in the gut here because Tad went out like he's done many times with McKinley Wright, with Spencer Dinwiddie, with, you know, going down the line with all the guys that Tad has identified and brought in and developed who became very good players. And he's had been a really good coach at doing that over the years. And, you know, you get nothing out of it now because you've developed somebody, you found them, you took a chance on them, they actually turned out to be a player, and then you get nothing on the backside. And so, yeah, that is very disappointing. I feel for especially lower-level programs where that happens. It happens everywhere, but especially in the lower-level areas.
Mark, we just got a text in. Says, we're asking about spreads here, Mark, so I know this is weird, but it's just a texter. John Fortball, ask Mr. Johnson if he feels CU can cover 6.5 points on Wednesday. I think it's 8.5 now, going up against Oklahoma. But how you feeling? I mean, that's a tough question to ask because it's like, who's playing?
Well, first off, whatever my answer is going to be, it's for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, of course, yes.
Because I'm not even allowed to fill out a bracket for the NCAA tournament, for goodness sakes. But yeah, how do you answer that question? Unless your texter has heard stuff that I haven't, and that's very possible, that Oklahoma's got a full roster. I'm not even sure at this point who they've got. And I won't even count on that until basically the warm-ups start on Wednesday night. You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, I know talking with the CU staff the last couple of days, I know what they're planning and how they're you know, looking to overcome not having three of, let's say, their top five players out there. And so that's going to affect them, obviously, and what they're looking to do and how they're planning on attacking Oklahoma if they have their full roster, which we don't know at this point in time. And so I like the game plan. I like, you know, I hope everyone's dialed in. At least that's what you hope for, that everyone that is going to play, 9 of their top 12 guys will be out there, and they can be dialed in and it'll be excited about playing. You hope that's the case. And, you know, whoever Oklahoma puts out there, I guess they're going to have to play him no matter what. But I wish I could give you an answer on the covering that spread, but I don't know.
Mark, when do you get rolling in the broadcast?
That's a great question. What time is the game? You know, it's been 2.5 weeks since I've done
is
a
it,
game.
I think it's – is it 6 o'clock Mountain?
I think that sounds
okay.
Right, which means 5:30.
5:30, okay. Yeah. All right, my friend. Yeah. Always
you can tell I've been incredibly dialed in to the tournament leading up. Just before you called, I was printing off numbers and rosters, and because we're leaving today and all day tomorrow, then I'll do all my game prep and get ready for Wednesday night.
Well, it doesn't matter when you do it. We know come game time, you'll be prepared and ready to go, as always. You never let us down, my friend.
I will be earning whatever. Well, I didn't get any NIL. But whatever they pay me, I'll be earning that on Wednesday night. I guarantee you that.
Always love it, man. Mark, awesome work as always. I'll look forward to catching up with you next Monday.
All right. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 43 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show. Big City Roadhouse. All right, here's one. Now, I'm always talking about the burgers and the pizza and the burritos because that's my wheelhouse there. But apparently one of the more popular items on their menu is their fish and chips with coleslaw and tartar sauce. I'm not a big fish and chips guy, Michael, but that is like their one of their favorite featured items there. People love getting themselves some fish and chips. So when I embark on the quest to try ultimately everything on the menu, that will be one of them there. It looks delicious. It's just not always my go-to. I'm a burger guy.
Give me the chips. I'm not a huge fish fan either.
Well, it's like, aren't the chips like fries and stuff? Isn't it fries?
Well, that's what they call it in Britain, but this is margarita.
Yeah, I think it's fries. But I recommend it just because everyone I talk to is always like, wow, their fish and chips is great. Faith says their chicken strips were the bomb, too. And I'm not a big chicken strips guy either. I know what I like, but I also have never been steered wrong at Big City Roadhouse. When Don's bringing out new stuff for us to try, it's always delicious. Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. 12:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up, we got the pressure cooker. George Payton says there's one position group that he is not considering messing with when it comes to trade or anything like that. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. We'll be right back.
Dudes, one mission, to provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10, on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up next, Mike, we'll get into a Monday's edition of The Whole Show Pressure Cooker. It can be for a game tonight, or, Mike, it could be for the week ahead. Pretty important week. Important for the Rockies to get off the schneid. Important for the Nuggets to climb up another spot in the playoffs, and for the Avalanche to just carry all that momentum into the postseason. All right, final hour of the show. Pressure cooker coming up next. We'll also talk about the Broncos and George Payton in a position group he ain't touching as far as trading. We'll get to that coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.